5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Seven Knife and Hallis, what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Dennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news.
Back, people, we are here. Day three.
I'm exhausted. I'm tired. The city of Satan's anus. You people need deliverance.
You ain't even seen the hell of Vegas to say that.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that's a good point.
Exactly. I haven't had a full Vegas experience, and it's enough.
Drunk people in the fucking hotel lobby, and he said this. He hasn't seen the demon shit that is out here. He hasn't been offered stuff by sex workers on the fucking street in broad fucking daylight. So he haven't seen the shit. But anyway, we're here. That was a hell of an intro. Vegas.
You know, I told Scott yesterday, I'm tired of the professional shit. I'm tired of me sounding like, oh, you know, I don't
like them. Like Andre Aldridge from NBA TV.
Tired of it, bro. You're going to get the real me. And you know what, bro? Let's close that a bit. This is a normal, what people normally do during a podcast, but I don't give a shit. So I'm tired of taking shit so damn seriously. Sorry.
What? Okay, I guess. Anyway, we're here to give y'all part three, final part of the 3-day draft series. By the way, we want to thank each and every one of y'all who donated money to this fund. We got over $2,000, which was more than I thought it was going to be. And we got through these three days. So definitely Shout out to y'all. You know, I apologize for the pregame show yesterday. Had a little bit of technical difficulty.
This nigga didn't know what he was doing.
And the nigga was hungry.
I kind of left him out to dry.
Yeah, ain't no kind of.
Because he was kind of like,
I wasn't prepared fully, and on top of that, I was fucking hungry, bro. Like, y'all don't understand.
Well, Scott's hungry. It's
I can't think.
Yeah.
And so I'm the NFL. First of all, NFL funny as hell giving us Subway for three fucking days. Number one.
Me and Scott have talked about teams and their subpar catering.
Yeah, we do craft. We do craft services rankings.
But I mean, my thing is that hosting the media should cost you jack shit. You know, it's not like you have to pay for their seats because these are your buildings. You're going to have those seats anyway. You know what I'm saying? At the most, you might have to take some time researching who they are, but it shouldn't cost you much. So spending money on food should be the bare minimum. I know NFL is sponsored by Subway, right? So I understand the Subway sandwiches. And I didn't mind the pepperoni Subway sandwich. But it's like, come on, bro. I will say,
the dinner was good. Nice
was
salad, back. Nice grilled chicken. The Clippers still lead the league in craft services. Shout out to the Clippers organization. Anyway, y'all not here to hear about our craft service rankings. Y'all here to talk about the Chicago Bears. The Bears had a pretty eventful day one, having a pretty eventful day two. We've already had a couple trades. You can pull up how many trades. Ryan Poles made two trades today. The Bears came in here with, what, three picks today? And now they have seven.
Yeah, they entered with just two fifths and 1/6.
Yeah.
And now they are sitting at fifth round. They have 166. We're recording this live as round three. Me and Scott didn't want to go back up to the media room for day three. Main reason is because we have to catch a flight.
Yeah, we got
to. And so it kind of doesn't coincide with what we have to do.
I've got to get back to the City Angels. He got to get back to Winterfell.
I honestly, I'm ready for cold air. This is why I realize I'm not.
Okay, but it's hot as fuck out here, though. It's not like
that's
it's,
true.
It's 90. Like it's a high of 73 in LA today. That's
perfect. That's perfect weather
right there. This is too goddamn hot.
But The Bears now looking at the fifth round pick, 166, 168. Sixth round, they're looking at 186, 203, and 207. Seventh round, which they did not have a seventh round pick coming into this game, coming into this draft, is 254 and 255. So, I mean, from three picks to end up with seven is impressive by every single means. That's a really good thing. My only issue was, you know, there was Shakir, the wide receiver out of, was it Boise State?
Yeah, he went to Buffalo.
Buffalo knows how to utilize wide receivers, so I'm sure they'll utilize them well, either in returning special teams or with a receiver group they have. You know, I think they have a pretty good receiver group. So that annoyed me a little, but I also know that Ryan Poles and his team, they have an analytics team, and they're very analytic. And when it first happened, I was like, oh, man, the Bears need an analytics thing. Now I'm like, well, sometimes you just got to go with the what's there. But whatever, that's me ranting.
So it's three picks the Bears made yesterday. Kyler Gordon went from Washington.
Mm-hmm. Jaquan Brisker.
Jaquan Brisker went to Penn State. And
Velus Jones Jr.
Velus Jones Jr. who went to Tennessee. Now, you have a more level-headed approach on this. I have a more level-headed. I was pretty emotional yesterday. Mm-hmm. Took me out of the whole draft, to be completely honest. I had to take a fucking walk after the second pick because I just didn't understand why you didn't get a fucking receiver.
Yeah.
And so I literally had to leave the draft room for about 20 minutes to get my head clear. But what's your overall opinion on what Poles did there and what do you think about the fan reaction, whether good or bad?
Fan reaction, because we asked for grades amongst every Bears fans, and we had thousands of engagements for that single tweet just asking what they felt. Initially, it was about C's, maybe two D's, a couple F's. Then the B's started flowing in. A lot of B's, B+, B-. Toward the end, we saw A+, and I'm like, I think y'all drinking the Kool-Aid to say that. If you, because I think for those who like the two defensive picks with their, Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker are two very good defensive players. I don't think you would like the offensive pick. Whereas me, I'm a little bit different in how I feel. I think Kyler Gordon is an immediate day one starter, and I think Jaquan Brisker is an immediate day one starter. These are all people who are all immediately going to bolster the defensive secondary. I immediately think the Bears secondary becomes one of the best in the leagues if these two players play to their potential. Jaquan Brisker is like a 6'1 stud. He's very athletic, very fast, hard hitter. He's going to go well next to Eddie Jackson. Eddie Jackson may have a chance to be a ball hawk again. Kyler Gordon has a lockdown skill just in the same way Jalen Johnson has a lockdown skill. That's great.
Jalen been looking for a running mate for a minute.
Yeah, that's great. Jalen Johnson is a very – you've seen Jalen Johnson going against the best. Yeah. And Jalen Johnson has continually held his own.
Jalen regards Devontae, which you don't have to worry about anymore.
Yeah. But even still, I mean, he held his own with Devontae, but Devontae's the best in the league, which you expect. Devontae had
– oh, now he's the best in the league.
So we can't. Excuse me. Is he on the Packers?
No, I mean, I've been saying it for years.
But he's not on the Packers, right?
No, he's not.
Exactly. Okay. So now he's the best in the league, according to me.
I just want to say the Vikings are some bitches, by the way, for helping the Packers.
That's shit we can say.
What happened to fuck your division rival?
Nobody does that.
Like, what are we doing?
If college had a draft, which will never happen, do you think that Bama would trade with Auburn?
Matter of fact, we got our quarterback because of division hate between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I mean, not the Giants and the Cowboys. That's how we got our
quarterback. The Giants gave the Bears a pick. They're like, fuck them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, and it's not like, it was the Giants the Eagles or was the Giants and?
No, it was the Giants. We got the Giants pick, but I guess like the Cowboys were trying to trade up to get
that pick.
Yeah, to get somebody, not Justin, but
of course,
somebody else.
To get that pick, and they were like, fuck it.
They like, fuck up.
That's what you do.
My favorite division spite is when Doug Peterson tanked. So the Giants couldn't make the playoffs 2 years ago. That was
didn't he laugh hilarious. In
yeah,
the game?
They were laughing on the sideline.
That's so fucking hilarious.
I love it. That's what happened at the so the Vikings some bitches for that hit.
That's weak. No friend. We don't need friendships in this game, brother.
To the Packers of all people, that's what we supposed to be agreeing with. That we all hate.
We supposed
Packers.
To be black brothers.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, continue with your thoughts.
But yeah, that was weak. But overall, so here is my point. Here is my not lack of understanding, but here is my issue with it. My main issue with it is these are two good defensive players, but how often have the Bears had good defenses? Like, what the fuck? How long has that happened?
For me, it's like, and I don't want
to
cut you off.
No, go ahead, because I'm about to literally bring up sportsreference.com just to look at the Bears record by year and just say, well, look at who was on this defense.
So, I just want to let y'all last night.
You know, the funny thing is, me and Scott are a two-man crew. I was watching the homies at Chicago Sports, CHGO Sports.
Shout out to CHGO.
CHGO Sports. I really rock with Nick, Will, Mason. You all, you are my guys from
shout
Chicago,
to
Ottawa.
Homie, Big Dave, everybody over there. You know,
shout out to Adam Hogue. Yeah. But I was looking, I said, man, I really can't wait for the day Barber's Chair has people to work and help us do this digitally. Because this is me and all Scott. 2 days.
Really, honestly, Barber's Chair Network is a four-man show.
It's a four-man show.
It's me, him, Pierce, and Dante.
Four-man show. Yeah. It's tough. It's tough. Of course, people who contribute. But the day-to-day, it's a four-man show.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, now go ahead. Sorry.
So, basically, I slept. By the way, I was about to say, our hotel room that we're in right now was our draft war room last night. We were sitting up here looking at film all goddamn night. About it. I wanted to sleep. Originally, we were going to record last night, and it was just too loud in this apartment, this outside. I don't know if anybody's seen King of Queens, but the episode of King of Queens where Doug was on vacation for spring, but they booked it for spring break, and it was fucking loud kids outside. That's what it was like out here, and I wanted to sleep on my thoughts. Let's be very clear. Kyler Gordon and what's my man's first name?
Jaquan Brisker.
Jaquan Brisker are great. I love Jaquan Brisker more than Kyler Gordon.
I probably do too.
That dude, if we've been looking for a strong safety who can hit, and you know, Will, I'm not the biggest fan of PFF Amos. PFF Ronnie Lott, as you like to call him.
He's having a good career.
He can hit motherfuckers.
He's having a good career.
You know what I'm saying?
We can't stun on him.
You know what my original problem with him was? We traded him for Brandon Marshall. That's what I got off the wrong foot with Ryan Pace. That's the issue I had. His pick ended up being Andrew Amos. The Brandon Marshall deal.
Oh, yeah.
So, but anyway, we needed somebody because somebody said, I think it was Adam Hogue on the Hogan John podcast I was watching this morning. I think one of the reasons Bojack hasn't been the same since 2018, he hasn't had a running mate. Like, when he had Amos out there, it was easy for him to just be a ball hawk. Yeah. He's been out here with ha-ha, didn't work out.
No.
Taquan Gibson couldn't stay fucking healthy. No. You know what I'm saying?
Deshaun Gibson.
That he couldn't stay healthy to help him out with that. So now he's got him. And I think these are two week one starters. Yeah. It's going to be like Jalen. Jalen was the opening corner week one 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be like that. I think they're gonna be good in Flusa's defense, and also secondary was a huge gap last year. Like, bruh, it was Jalen and some weak ass motherfuckers. Remember, Bojack missed a good portion of the season. It was a bad part. So you feel that? My issue here is not the players we took. It is the process. I don't care. The process over results for me sometimes. You need a wide receiver, right?
Mm-hmm.
You need weapons for Justin Fields. Everything is about Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And George Pickens was right there. Even if it wasn't George Pickens, Pierce was there. It was different options for you to get that guy there, and you could have got laid. That was the problem I had with it. I'm still upset about it because I believe on paper, now things can change. There's going to be a second wave of free agency. There's a lot of veteran wide receivers out there. My point with the veteran wide receivers, you got your Jarvis Landry's, or your Odell's, or your Julio's, and things like that. But how many of them are going to sign with the Bears, who are clearly not going to be a good football team next year over a contender? So that, to me, is a problem. Even Odell, he's going to be out to probably Thanksgiving.
That's true.
So that's another reason. That's why, on paper, the Bears have a bottom three wide receiver class as of right now. With Darnell Mooney, with Byron Pringle, with how you pronounce folks' name?
Equiminius. St. Brown.
And also
Equiminius, nigga.
Equiminius. That's a big-ass name. And then also Velvet Jones. I don't want to fuck his name up. Right,
Velus Jones Jr.
So, and that's God forbid that Darnell Mooney don't get hurt.
Yeah.
And then you add your tight end of Cole Kmet, and of course your running back, David Montgomery. And I think we're going to get a lot of David Montgomery this year. My thing is this, like, I just don't see how. To me, you're trying to make Justin turn water into wine. And I see a lot of people with Sweden, were you expecting the Bears to be good next year? No, I expect the Bears to be trash next year. But this is about Justin Fields' development. And wide receivers count, weapons count. Now, maybe Ryan Pohl says we believe more in the offensive coordinator and our system and the system that we had here when Matt Nagy was so bad more than the weapons are, mm-hmm. which could be true.
Yeah.
And one thing I did like the poll said in his press conference after the draft was that him and Justin speak a lot. Him and Justin were watching film about what receivers would potentially bring in. So obviously there wasn't any guys who Justin was like, I want him.
Because
mm-hmm. if that was the case, he would have got him.
That's true.
So that's something that stood out to me too. So, but at the end of the day, that's just how I feel. I would give him a C-.
Yeah.
Just because that I don't know. I just didn't like the way it went about. I think you got two good guys. I just didn't like the way they went about it. Now, they got a lot of picks today. You can get them. Now, you don't really know in these type of rounds, some of these dudes might not be in the league this year. Some of them might be great. You might have your diamond in the rough. We don't really know. With the draft in general, we don't really know. We really got to wait and see. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm going to take a wait and see approach. I'm not happy about it. I'm not going to sit and act like I'm happy about it. But it is what it is at this point.
So while Scott was talking, I was looking on StatMuse just so I could just get a nice encyclopedia look at the top defenses by year.
We might actually get the live pick while we're recording.
I'm assuming we will. Yeah. But I was looking at the, whatchamacallit, the top defenses by year. And one thing I will say for sure, so yeah, the Bears pick at 166, three picks later. This is while we're recording this, the fifth round is going on, and we're at 163. But the top defenses by year, you know who dominated the 2000s? Ooh. The Bears and the Ravens.
Yeah, Bears and Ravens, yeah.
So, and then of course, once Lovey came in.
And who got championship in 2000?
Well, Ravens did. But who dominated the late 2000s? Same thing, as the Bears also had top 10 defenses. Yeah. And I don't. The 90s were just a dark year, period.
90s might be the worst period in Bears football.
90s are just a dark year, period. I was also a child. So, you know, my Bears memories don't really start until 2001.
My first Bears memory that I can remember was the game after Walter Payton died.
99 or the 98?
It was 99 when the kick got blocked. And it was like, sweetness blocked that from heaven. Remember that?
Yeah.
That was my first Bears memory.
That's my first Bears
memory. My first Bears playoff memory, of course, when Donovan McNabb came to
beat the shit out of
them.
The shit out of them.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at this. I'm going from 2000 to 2004 to 2006, 2007, 2010, and we're looking at just insane defenses. Top 10, top 5, some of them number 1. For 3 or 4 years straight, number 1 defenses by the Bears. When you get into the Tressman era, that's when you lose the defense. Defense started being dog shit. John Fox in his second year was producing a better defense, but they were still dog shit on offense. Of course, when you look at Matt Nagy, those first 2 years they had with the top, they were DVOA were number 1 for 2 years.
Yeah.
The last 2 years, obviously everything slipped. But if you take those last 20 years, that's nothing but good defenses. So why am I don't care. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's 2022, bro. I don't give a shit about defense like that.
Yeah.
And I say that because the rules are geared for offense. The rules are like, I feel sorry for cornerbacks sometimes because I'm like, bro, what are you supposed to do when you're in the end zone, or not end zone, when you are guarding the hash marks? And so you know when this slot receiver's come up, the slot receiver is coming up, he's not. You don't know if he's going to stutter step and go for an in route. He might just look and come for a straight drag route, get the ball quick, and you can't even grab on to his shirt, just briefly. Briefly, of course you're going to slow him down. That's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get yourself in stride with him because it's hard to react to the way people run because it's unexpected. And as much as you love to look at the sets, the game film to say, okay, when this happens, this is what this player does. When this happens, this is what this player does. The reality is cornerbacks, defensive backs, periods, I do not envy with how long it takes them to, I don't envy their position.
I don't envy pass rushers because you can't touch fucking quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. So right now, defenses, everything's against them. You can't lay with your body weight on a defender. Like, that's just natural when you jump for a sack. With that being said, in today's game, you need offense. Everything is geared toward the offense. The Chiefs won the Super Bowl a couple years ago with a fantastic offense, a so-so defense that was starting to get turnovers as the game went around late. So going for ball hawks is fine. But my thing is that
if you have a top 10 offense and a middle row defense, you can win the Super Bowl.
Exactly. You have a top defense, middle row offense, you're not winning.
You're not winning shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the point that everybody needs to realize. But when people say Chicago's a defensive town, you meathead-ass Bears fans are included in that. I can't, first of all, people said, oh, you know, you were whining in your mentions. Guess what? I don't give a shit. I mean, I'm literally sitting here at the draft, literally, what's the word? What is the processing the picks that the Bears have? We're independent media. I can do what the hell I want. And so I'm just sitting here trying to gauge my feelings as a journalist who covers the Bears, but also as a Bears fan. A lot of people who cover the Bears aren't Bears fans, but I know a good number of them are Bears fans, but some of them become jaded. I don't want to become so jaded that I can't actually voice my opinion. And I didn't like it. Velus Jones, however, I did like the pick. Velus Jones, I did like the pick. And
this isn't just something he's saying right now. He said it when he drafted. He's like, I like it.
No, I say that immediately. Yeah. The only reason I say that is because there's a front homeboy through Twitter who is a big Tennessee fan who has mentioned him several times. And I took note, you know, especially during the season, because Tennessee is a wasteland when it comes to getting good offensive players, getting good offense, period, because they never really have had great offenses. What? Great offensive, like a quarterback since who? Peyton Manning? And so, if I look up the Tennessee players who were drafted quarterback, it's going to be a short list. So, I overall, I have to give it a C-. Nothing did here stood out to me. Yeah, you're going to rebuild that defense, but I think offense should always be the priority. Ryan Poles said in his press conference that, yeah, you don't rebuild a team over one draft. That's true. That's why the first thing you should do was focus on wide receiver.
Right, exactly.
This year's draft was a wide receiver-heavy draft.
Yeah.
Go get you a wide receiver immediately. Go get you someone who can be side to side by Darnell Mooney. I wholly believe Darnell Mooney is a good number two.
Yeah.
But that's all I believe. Yeah, I do not think he's a number one unless something happens this year where he makes an insane leap. From his first to second year, he made a pretty solid jump. Not a leap, but a jump.
He made a nice jump.
You know, from someone who was coming from around what?
And he's been pretty durable so far. He hasn't really gotten hurt.
Even though he's been taking some tough tackles. What I've seen from him is a person who is good hands. He's a good route runner. He knows how to get behind the defense. But is that enough for him to be a number one? I just can't see it yet.
Yeah.
And so what I wanted next to him was a fast and big receiver. George Pickens.
Go up and get it, guy.
George Pickens was that person for me. But, of course, I understand that he was dealing with injuries. And so I can understand being a little bit
Especially after the Larry Ogunjobi thing. I think that Paul was real, you know, hesitant about dealing with people with injury history.
But also, I wanted somebody who's going to be a touchdown machine. Darnell Mooney has 8 touchdowns in 2 years, 4 each year. His first year, he had 600 yards. Next year, he had 1,000, of course, you know. 61 receptions, 81 receptions. So it's safe to say he can be a 1,000-yard receiver. Right. But 1,000-yard receiver doesn't make you a number one. Makes you a 1,000-yard receiver. Yeah. So.
Yeah, and it's also like, yeah, I know he said you can't feel everything. I understand that, but it's year two for Justin.
Yeah.
And he has to... You have to figure out what you got in him. You know what I'm saying? And the thing that should annoy me, everybody, and I don't understand the super GM loyalty to a GM who's done nothing for you yet. Like, that shit I don't fucking understand. And it's like, y'all the same people that if Justin has a so-so year, you going to blame him when he's throwing people who he shouldn't be fucking throwing to.
Yeah.
That's the problem I have. This is a big year for Justin. I'm not talking about the wins. I don't care about the fucking wins. Don't give a shit.
No.
What Justin looks like. If Justin's not good, it don't matter who the hell you draft. Because in today's NFL, you got to have one of them guys. If you ain't got one of them guys, it don't fucking matter, bro. This is not the days of having a good run game, a manageable quarterback, and a great... Them shits is over, bro. If you ain't got one of them Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, of course the GOAT, you ain't winning shit.
Everybody's telling us to trust the process. Was it one of our first episodes?
It was the first episode ever of 7-9-9.
Who's the GM?
It was fucking Ryan Pace.
What happened to him?
He should be in prison right now. He should be in Guantanamo. That's where he should be.
We trusted the process with him. We trusted the process with Phil Emery. Dog shit. Tired of it, man. Tired of it.
What have the Bears done for you in your life to make you trust anything?
Nothing.
If anything, you should never trust them.
Yeah.
Like, ever.
That's not saying you should be... Oh, this sucks. No, you should be reasonable and say, oh, that's a good pickup. Like, when I look at Kyler Gordon, I'm not mad at the pick anymore.
I said, like the players, hate the process.
No, it's not even that. Kyler Gordon, that first pick was fine. The next pick after that, Jaquan Brisker, also a great player. I said, get a receiver.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have had that safety that you wanted, but you still got Eddie Jackson, man. Safety is never a pressing issue for me. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Safety is never a pressing
it's not
issue
a must
for
have
me.
Position.
No. I don't care what anybody's saying. As much as the biggest thing you want is a safety to be able to give help over top. And a competent safety can do that.
Yeah.
I can find you in the fourth round like today. I don't think I needed to spend a second round pick to get you. That's just my thought. Whereas a cornerback, I have backed off. And I say, well, I understand. That's my thing. Oh, okay. I'm like, eh. I'm a chill. Perhaps I was wrong. Maybe I'm tripping. And I'm cool with that. But Jaquan Brisker, I think that was an opportunity for you to pick up a receiver. You to pick up a stud receiver, quick receiver. Man, George Pickens. And it's not because it was the name. It was his size and speed.
They had another Bears trade. That's why I was wondering why the screen. Bears make another trade, this time to the Bengals, for number 166, for 174 and 226. He's moving too damn much. Anyway.
Enough.
Yeah, enough.
Enough. Just get a damn pick. Yeah. Eventually, the quality just starts to tank, man. Maybe he's just looking for depth. It seems the way Ryan Poles is playing it that he's looking for depth. So now, he's turned that into 8 picks?
Yeah.
8 draft picks? Congrats, nigga.
So, we can wrap this up. I thought we were going to get the pick on him.
Yeah, we're not. We were vamping until we get to that. Anyway, this is 79th and Hallis. This is draft day 3. This is the last episode for the draft here in Vegas. Once we're back to our respective cities, we're going to take an exhaustive look of everything, give you a normal hour plus episode, where we just talk about the draft in total. Maybe we'll have a better grade for you. Maybe we'll have a worse grade. Yeah. As of right now, Scott, you're sitting at a C minus?
C minus right now.
I'm sitting at a C minus with them, too. We'll see. Anyway, we'd like to thank you all for the donations that got us here. We appreciate it. It was a great experience. Next time, I'm going to stay in Chicago and go to Hallis Hall. But it was cool, man. It was cool to see you here, man. It's a blessing for you all rocking with us and getting to this stage. But anyway,
we appreciate you.
That's Scott. I'm Flo's. We'll catch you all back in our respective cities.